In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, only one God, amen.
First of all, we wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving coming up, God willing. And we're entering the last Sunday of the first month in the Coptic calendar. And during the first Sundays and the readings of the church reminds us of the importance of starting a fresh start through repentance and coming back to the Lord, who alone can cleanse and heal, forgive, and give eternal life. And as we know, at the end of the Coptic year, the church reminds us to stay awake because we don't know when our end is. Likewise, at the beginning of the year, the church reminds us to renew and to start a fresh start by coming back to the Lord in repentance. And we heard tonight of two miracles combined into one story. We heard the desperate plea of a man for the Lord to come and heal or raise from the dead his daughter who is just at the point of death. And as the Lord was heading out to save the girl, we hear this second amazing miracle where a woman quietly comes from behind the Lord and, as it were, steals healing for herself by touching just the hem of the Lord's garment. And with the crowd pressing all about the Lord, Jesus asks this famous question, "Who touched me?" And to the naked eye, this seems like a strange question to ask, just like when the Lord asked the man who had been sick for 38 years, "Do you want to be made well?" And when the Lord asks a question that seems not the right time, there's always a deeper meaning to the question of the Lord. Here we see the Lord asked, "Who touched me?" And the question seems even more absurd because there's a man who is anxiously waiting for the Lord to go and save his daughter who is at the point of death. Meanwhile, with the crowd all around the Lord stops everyone and says, "Who touched me?" And we'll come back to this in a minute, but you know the rest of the story, that despite everyone who was crowding around the Lord, only one woman who was in a desperate state, yet she was clever enough to touch the Lord and to gain healing from touching the Lord. You also know that the Lord continued and went and raised the daughter of Jairus, who was 12 years old and had just died. And we heard tonight from St. Matthew's account, and we'll read together the same miracle from St. Mark's Gospel. The same miracle is recorded in all three Gospels of Saints Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and the great multitude followed him and thronged him. This is the first part. And we continue the second part. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. The word immediately you will find mentioned often in St. Mark's Gospels. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he was still speaking, now we're entering the third part of the story. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Glory be to God forever. Amen. The story, as you heard, is in three parts. The first is the plea of Jairus for Jesus to come and save his daughter. The second is the healing of the woman who had been bleeding 12 years. And the third is the raising of the 12-year-old girl who had just died. In the first part, we see a man who is about to lose or has just lost his daughter coming to ask help from the Lord. And we can observe a few things that are good about the way Jairus came. He fell down at the Lord's feet and begged him earnestly. And I need to learn the same thing when I'm in need, to fall down at the Lord's feet and to beg him. Jairus says to the Lord, "Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." Here we see that Jairus has faith in the Lord, that the Lord is able to save his dying daughter. However, although he is a ruler of the Jewish synagogue, yet his faith was small compared to another Bible character who we just heard about previously from St. Matthew's Gospel. If you remember the centurion whose servant was sick, he also came to the Lord asking for the Lord to heal his servant, but he had more faith. Because as we heard, the centurion said to the Lord that, "I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant shall be healed." Here we look to have the same faith of the centurion, who is not dependent on the physical presence, but knows that the Lord is powerful and can heal even without physically being there. But back to Jairus, who was anxiously begging for his daughter's life, who said, "Come and lay your hands on her that she may be made well and live." He had a problem. He had a serious problem. His only daughter was dying. And good for him, he knew where to find the solution in our Lord Jesus Christ. But if we have a problem, say I have a disease, and I go to a medical specialist or a doctor, Is it appropriate for me, the sick person, or my parents, to tell the doctor how to cure the disease? We hear from St. John Chrysostom that the ruler of the synagogue here is insensitive because he required of Christ two things. He required that Jesus actually be present and to lay his hands. So when I have a problem, it is good to bring the problem to the Lord. It is good to worship the Lord. But I should leave the problem with the Lord to solve. I don't need to tell him how to solve it, or when to solve it, or where to solve it. But even though the ruler was perhaps a little insensitive in the way he asked the Lord does not turn him away. The Lord is compassionate, and he will still accept my imperfect prayer, but he will always work to make us more perfect. And if he sees I am lacking in faith, perhaps he will delay his response to allow me to deepen my faith. Now the second part of the story. There's this poor woman who had wasted all her living on earthly physicians, earthly wisdom, and futile attempts to heal her suffering. And the poor woman finally had a chance, opportunity to reach the one physician who she believes can truly heal her. She has faith that the Lord Jesus Christ can heal her, so she should go to him. But why did she not approach him openly? St. John Chrysostom also reminds us that in terms of the law of Moses, her flow of blood is regarded as unclean. And for this reason, she remained hidden and she concealed herself. So if she concealed herself, why did the Lord reveal her? Why didn't Jesus leave her unnoticed, but he brought her into the center of attention and made her visible? Again, St. Chrysostom tells us that the Lord had many reasons, perhaps five reasons to do this. One of the reasons is not because the Lord wanted glory for himself. The Lord is not in need of any of us to clap for him. So why did the Lord bring attention to the woman? First of all, Jesus wants to put an end to her fear. He doesn't want her to remain trapped in dread. He doesn't want her conscience to bother her as if she came and stole the gift of healing. So he wants to publicly acknowledge her and give her peace. Another reason is that she had assumed that she has no right to be seen. And he wants to correct this assumption and tell her that he has come to heal everyone. He has come for those who are in need. So he came to correct that assumption that she actually has a right to be seen by the true physician. Third, he makes her faith an example to everyone and encourages each of us to emulate her faith. Fourth, he shows that he knows everything and he knows all my needs, those that are hidden and those that are manifest. And finally, perhaps he wanted to admonish Jairus, to admonish the ruler of the synagogue by pointing out that this woman, who was also in despair, had more faith. Now back to who touched me. God willing, tomorrow we will all come to take part in the body and blood of the Lord in communion, and there will be many flocking to touch the Lord. But let's look at this one clever woman who not only touched the Lord but benefited from touching him because she came in faith. So I, like her, shouldn't just come to take communion as a habit, but I do need to come truly seeking to be cleansed, to be healed, forgiven, and trusting that only He can provide all that. Who touched me? I shouldn't waste my time on earthly wisdom or methods or perhaps meditations like this woman had tried for 12 years, spending all her livelihood, and instead of getting better, she had become worse. Instead, I need to come seeking the heavenly wisdom and meditate on Him who freely gives me His blood to stop my bleeding, who gives me His life so that I can live forever. Saint Augustine writes that there are few who by faith touch Him, but there are multitudes who throng about Him, but only few touch Him in faith. Who touched me in faith that I can cleanse, that I can heal, I can forgive, and I can give eternal life? Now, finally, to the daughter of Jairus, if we continue the story, you hear how some came from the ruler's house to say to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." And this we can call bad advice from perhaps his closest acquaintances, friends, or family. This is bad advice. And the Lord knows that the faith of Jairus is being tested, so our compassionate Lord encourages and supports him, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." Saint Augustine writes the following: "He, the Lord, comes to the house and finds the customary funeral rites already underway. And he says to them, 'Why do you make a tumult and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping.' And the Lord spoke the truth. She was in a certain sense asleep, asleep, that is, in respect of him by whom she could be awakened. So awakening her, he restores her alive to her parents." St. Augustine also tells us that the daughter of the synagogue ruler signifies the Jewish people, whereas the woman who was bleeding for 12 years signifies the church of the Gentiles. For the Gentiles were considered unclean and only wanted to touch but the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ is actually a symbol of St. Paul the Apostle, who preached to the Gentiles. And our Lord has come to give life and healing and forgiveness to both the daughter of the synagogue, signifying the Jews, as well as to the church of the Gentiles. Another one of the church fathers, his name is Saint Chromatius, writes that after she was raised from the dead, as Saint Luke reports in the Gospel, the Lord directs her to eat something. Evidently, the order of our faith and salvation is here shown. For when each believer among us is freed in baptism from perpetual death and comes back to life upon acceptance of the gift of the Holy Spirit, it is necessary that the person also be directed to eat the heavenly bread, about which the Lord says, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you." So here we're reminded of the importance of the sacrament of communion, which of course we all know is preceded by the sacrament of continual repentance in confession. So if we review quickly a few key points from the first part of the story, we learn, like Jairus did, that when I have a problem, I can fall at the Lord's feet and beg Him earnestly. But ideally, I can offer Him the problem, and I do not need to advise the physician how or where or when to solve the problem. And then we remember who touched me, and the words of Saint Augustine, that few are they who by faith touch Him, multitudes are they who throng about him. So I want to touch him in faith so that he can cleanse me, heal me spiritually, grant me forgiveness and eternal life, and crown my life with peace, as he said to the woman, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And finally, when I feel that I'm in a desperate situation, whether struggling to overcome a bad habit or a weakness or a sin or praying for others who are in rough shape, the Lord gives us all hope and says, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she or you or they will be made well." Glory be to God forever. Amen.